We're going to try and do this. I'm moving back from the camera. Hopefully it'll focus a little better. May 20th, 2023, 1327 hours. Eastern Daylight Time, Ward Green here. Burton Cummings on his debut album of the same name, Burton Cummings, in 1976, the song Stand Tall. So I'll let anyone of you little children read on your own for today, The Wild Road, paragraph 9-9. I think we've covered most of this material. It's sort of a bit of a review and a summary of some of the information, but it's presented in a very condensed and more persuasive form of presenting the numbers for the time of the Tower of Babel, and in fact all the way down to when Joseph, the son of Jacob, ruled Israel. And it talks about, in fact, even beyond that, all the way down to the beginning of the Hyksos dynasty, it talks about that as well. But it's very, very intense information, actually. There's a quote from the Ark of Urartu, our own article, at the end of this paragraph, which is from 2010 also. But we see the difficulty in doing chronology from a time period that's this old, this ancient, without having any record of it. There's no details. There are no details given in any reliable, accurate, single source that gives a sequence of kings or anything. So we had to find it or try and figure it out. We're almost making it up out of nothing. And we're trying to, but we're using facts. We're sticking to all the facts that we do have from different sources, many disparate facts, and we're piecing them all together. And we pray, and you know, we're always seeking the truth, that spirit of the truth, the Holy Spirit, which is the spirit of the truth, is what we're seeking at all times. And hopefully we've actually found something that is somewhat better than nothing, you know, and hopefully close to the truth, but we have no way of knowing how close or how far. For today's proverb, I had an idea about today's proverb and then I lost it entirely. So I had to find a new one. A false word, Proverbs 13 and 5. A false word is what the righteous hates, but the wicked ones act shamefully and cause disgrace for themselves. How about that? Isn't that something? So the disgrace upon the wicked one is not brought upon the wicked one by the righteous one. It's brought upon themselves. Isn't that something? And we don't have to take any time to point out their disgrace, in other words, because they're doing it themselves. We can rest our case because they're doing enough on their own to bring disgrace upon themselves. Isn't that something? A false word is what the righteous hates also. Wow. Powerful, powerful, powerful. Jehovah guides me. I don't have any conscious awareness of how to select these. I just allow these things to just, I open the book and I find the first available scripture. What are we going to do next? What are we going to do next, little children? It's Exodus 29, is that right? Yeah, Exodus 29. This is so much information that we don't really want to be doing the Ark of Urartu today anyway, because this is a lot of information as it is. And this is the thing that you are to do to Aaron and his sons, to sanctify them for acting as priests to me. This is Jehovah speaking to Moses. Take a young bull and two rams, sound ones, and unfermented bread and unfermented ring-shaped cakes. moistened with oil, and unfermented wafers smeared with oil. Out of fine wheat flour you will make them, and you must put them upon a basket and present them in the basket, and also the bull and the two rams. And you will present Aaron and his sons at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and you must wash them with water. Then you must take the garments and clothe Aaron with the robe and the sleeveless coat of the ephod, and with the ephod and the breastpiece, and you must tie it closely to him with the girdle of the ephod. And you must set the turban upon his head and put the holy sign of dedication upon the turban. And you must take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him. Then you will bring his sons near, and you must clothe them with the robes, and you must gird them with the sashes, Aaron as well as his sons, and you must wrap the headgear upon them, and the priesthood must become theirs as a statute to time indefinite. So you must fill the hand of Aaron and the hand of his sons with power. You must now present the bull before the tent of meeting, and Aaron and his sons must lay their hands upon the bull's head, and you must slaughter the bull before Jehovah at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And you must take some of the bull's blood and put it with your finger upon the horns of the altar, and all the rest of the blood you will pour out at the base of the altar. And you must take all the fat that covers the intestines and the appendage upon the liver and the two kidneys and the fat that is upon them, and you must make them smoke upon the altar. But the bull's flesh and its skin and its dung you will burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. Then you will take the one ram, and Aaron and his sons must lay their hands upon the ram's head. And you must slaughter the ram and take its blood and sprinkle it round about upon the altar. And you will cut up the ram into its pieces, and you must wash its intestines and its shanks and put its pieces to one another and up to its head, and you must make the entire ram smoke upon the altar. It is a burnt offering to Jehovah, a restful odor. It is an offering made by fire to Jehovah. Next, you must take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons must lay their hands upon the ram's head. And you must slaughter the ram and take some of its blood and put it upon the lobe of Aaron's right ear, and upon the lobe of his son's right ear, and upon the thumb of their right hand, and the big toe of their right foot, and you must sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar. And you must take some of the blood that is upon the altar, and some of the anointing oil, and you must spatter it upon Aaron and his garments, and upon his sons, and the garments of his sons with him, that he and his garments, and his sons, and the garments of his sons with him, may indeed be holy. And you must take from the ram the fat and the fat tail and the fat that covers the intestines and the appendage of the liver and the two kidneys and the fat that is upon them and the right leg, for it is a ram of installation. Also a round loaf of bread and a ring-shaped cake of oiled bread and a wafer out of the basket of unfermented cakes that is before Jehovah. And you must place them all upon the palms of Aaron and upon the palms of his sons, and you must wave them to and fro as a wave offering before Jehovah. And you must take them off their hands and make them smoke upon the altar, upon the burnt offering, as a restful odor before Jehovah. It is an offering made by fire to Jehovah. And you must take the breast of the ram of installation, which is for Aaron, and wave it to and fro as a wave offering before Jehovah, and it must become your portion. And you must sanctify the breast of the wave offering and the leg of the sacred portion that was waved and that was contributed from the ram of installation, from what was for Aaron and from what was for his sons. And it must become Aaron's and his sons by a regulation to time indefinite to be performed by the sons of Israel, because it is a sacred portion. And it will become a sacred portion to be rendered by the sons of Israel from their communion sacrifices. It is their sacred portion for Jehovah. And the holy garments that are Aaron's will serve for his sons after him, to anoint them in them and to fill their hand with power in them. 7 days the priest who succeeds him from among his sons and who comes into the tent of meeting to minister in the holy place will wear them. And you will take the ram of installation, and you must boil its flesh in a holy place. And Aaron and his sons must eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And they must eat the things with which atonement has been made to fill their hand with power in order to sanctify them. But a stranger may not eat them because they are something holy. And if any of the flesh of the installation sacrifice and of the bread should be left over until the morning, then you must burn what is left over with fire. It must not be eaten because it is something holy. And you must do this way to Aaron and his sons according to all that I have commanded you. You will take 7 days to fill their hand with power, and you will offer the bull of the sin offering daily for an atonement. And you must purify the altar from sin by your making atonement over it, and you must anoint it to sanctify it. You will take 7 days to make atonement over the altar, and you must sanctify it, that it may indeed become a most holy altar. Anyone who touches the altar is to be holy. And this is what you will offer upon the altar: young rams, each a year old, 2 a day constantly. And you will offer the one young ram in the morning, and you will offer the other young ram between the 2 evenings, and a tenth part of an ephah measure of fine flour moistened with the fourth of a hin of beaten oil, and a drink offering of the fourth of a hin of wine will go for the first young ram. And you will offer the second young ram between the 2 evenings with a grain offering like that of the morning and with a drink offering like its. You will render it as a restful odor, an offering made by fire to Jehovah. It is a constant burnt offering throughout your generations at the entrance of the tent of meeting before Jehovah, where I shall present myself to you people to speak to you there. And I will present myself there to the sons of Israel, and it will certainly be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tent of meeting and the altar. And I shall sanctify Aaron and his sons for them to act as priests to me. And I will tabernacle in the midst of the sons of Israel, and I will prove to be their God. And they will certainly know that I am Jehovah their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I may tabernacle in the midst of them. I am Jehovah their God. And that is Exodus chapter 29 concluded. So, little children, what about Luke? What about Luke chapter 20? On one of the days, while Jesus was teaching the people in the temple and declaring the good news, the chief priests and the scribes with the older men came near, and they spoke up, saying to him, "Tell us by what authority you do these things, or who it is that gave you this authority." In reply, he said to them, "I will also ask you a question, and you tell me, was the baptism of John from heaven or from men?" Then among themselves they drew conclusions, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why is it you did not believe him?' But if we say from men, the people one and all will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet." So they replied that they did not know its source. And Jesus said to them, "Neither am I telling you by what authority I do these things." Then he started to tell the people this illustration: a man planted a vineyard and let it out to cultivators, and he traveled abroad for a considerable time. But in due season, he sent out a slave to the cultivators that they might give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. The cultivators, however, sent him away empty after beating him up. But he repeated and sent them a different slave. That one also they beat up and dishonored and sent away empty. Yet again he sent a third. This one also they wounded and threw out. At this, the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my son, the beloved. Likely they will respect this one." When the cultivators caught sight of him, they went reasoning with one another, saying, "This is the heir. Let us kill him, that the inheritance may become ours." With that, they threw him outside the vineyard and killed him. What therefore will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy these cultivators and will give the vineyard to others. On hearing this, they said, "Never may that happen." But he looked upon them and said, What then does this that is written mean? The stone which the builders rejected, this has become the chief cornerstone. Everyone falling upon that stone will be shattered. As for anyone upon whom it falls, it will pulverize him. The scribes and the chief priests now sought to get their hands on him in that very hour, but they feared the people, for they perceived that he spoke this illustration with them in mind. And after observing him closely, they sent out men secretly hired to pretend that they were righteous, in order that they might catch him in speech, so as to turn him over to the government and to the authority of the governor. And they questioned him, saying, Teacher, we know you speak and teach correctly and show no partiality, but you teach the way of God in line with truth. Is it lawful for us to pay tax to Caesar or not? But he detected their cunning and said to them, Show me a denarius. Whose image and inscription does it have? They said, Caesar's. He said to them, By all means, then, pay back Caesar's things to Caesar, but God's things to God. Well, they were not able to catch him in this saying before the people, but in amazement at his answer, they said nothing. However, some of the Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came up and questioned him, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote us, If a man's brother dies having a wife, but this one remained childless, his brother should take the wife and raise up offspring from her for his brother. Accordingly, there were seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died childless. So the second and the third took her likewise. Even the seven, they did not leave children behind, but died off. Lastly, the woman also died. Consequently, in the resurrection, of which one of them does she become the wife? For the seven got her as wife. Jesus said to them, The children of this system of things marry and are given in marriage, but those who have been counted worthy of gaining that system of things and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. In fact, neither can they die anymore, for they are like the angels, and they are God's children by being children of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised up, even Moses disclosed in the account about the thorn bush, when he calls Jehovah the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is a God not of the dead, but of the living, for they are all living to him. In response, some of the scribes said, Teacher, you spoke well. For no longer did they have the courage to ask him a single question. In turn, he said to them, How is it that they say that the Christ is David's son? For David himself says in the book of Psalms, Jehovah said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I place your enemies as a stool for your feet. David, therefore, calls him Lord. So how is he his son? Then while all the people were listening, he said to the disciples, Look out for the scribes who desire to walk around in robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and front seats in the synagogues and most prominent places at evening meals, and who devour the houses of the widows and for a pretext to make long prayers. These will receive a heavier judgment. And that was Luke chapter 20. Now concluded. Thank you for listening and watching. I hope you enjoyed that, little children. That's today's study. If we could just talk for a moment about one of my watches. This watch I call Willie because it's a Captain Willard homage, which was a famous watch. We don't need to mention who the manufacturer of that particular style of watch was, but there's a watch called the Captain Willard, and this is an imitation, or it's not an exact copy, of course, but it's an homage to that watch in the same shape. It has a turtle shape. It's shaped like a turtle as far as the case of the watch goes. But what I love about this watch more than anything is not the shape of it. It's the movement inside, which is a Chinese movement called the PT5000. I'm trying to remember now which company makes that movement. And it's not... I'm not I don't recall the name of the company, but it's not important. But the important thing about that movement is that the PT5000 was certified in Germany. Because it was Chinese, they couldn't certify it in Switzerland. But the equivalent certification was done in Germany for this watch, for the accuracy, in terms of certifying its accuracy. And it was the first Chinese watch ever to obtain, as I understand it, that sort of accuracy, that kind of certification for its accuracy. And when I hand wind this watch, I can feel, it feels like it has a very smooth winding mechanism. I really like winding it by hand. Not that it's particularly well designed for winding, it's difficult to wind it, but it's always difficult to have everything. This watch is just, I'm impressed with it. It works well in the winder too, the automatic winder. It didn't run down after being wound using the automatic winder, whereas two of my other watches did run down and stop. And this is also the same price as my least expensive watch, $138, and I know there are much cheaper watches available. But in automatic watches, this is a mechanical automatic watch, which is, it's a very good price, very low price for one of those. And the other one that I got that was the same price, it doesn't work properly unless I just lay it on my desk. So this one is the best that I've got for that price of $138. I believe so far it's phenomenal. So that is Willy. I really like this watch because of its cost effectiveness. And the mechanism is so, apparently it's highly acclaimed because it was certified in Germany for accuracy. And these certifications are something like 5 seconds, you know, per day or something like that. But today, I love you, as always, but today is May 20th, 2023, 1354. I love you. Have a wonderful day. Praise Jehovah. Seek first the kingdom and God's righteousness, that the necessary daily needs may be supplied to you, and they will be by Jehovah when you seek the kingdom first. When you seek the first kingdom, we could say, maybe, I just thought of that. That's a good way to put it too, possibly, but we don't always think about what it means, you know. We quote the scriptures and we try to stick to the scriptures, but the spirit of the truth is not just lie in scripture. It's the spirit of the truth. It's not just in scripture. That's just a form of writing, right? I mean, that's just, and the power of writing goes far beyond the power of speech. That's true in all forms of writing. So when it says that all scripture is inspired of God, it has more than just an application to scripture of the Bible. All writing is inspired of God, far more so than the spoken word is. And this is very true. Now, not all written word is equally good or true. That's known. We know there are many corrupt texts and things like that, and texts that are not as good as, but they're far worse than the Holy Scriptures for the most part. But it doesn't mean that the Word of God is without error. Certainly there are scriptural issues with the copyists and things that have been, you know, written down that are less than complete or less than perfect in the scriptures themselves. There are going to be always some relatively minor things in the scriptures themselves. But, you know, the idea is that the spirit of the truth is in the scriptures. That's the idea. The Holy Spirit is in the Scriptures. And every time we read the Scriptures, we benefit immensely from that Holy Spirit that is contained within it. So we just get refreshed with the Spirit of truth, and it helps us to be truthful in our own lives. What was I thinking about humility? Something about humility, right? Yeah, like Burton Cummings' song, you know, it's silly human pride. You're feeling it like everyone. We all feel this feeling. So pride is a feeling that we have, right? And humility is something we have to really find. But how do we find humility? Well, it's by studying great works. I believe that's how we find humility. And some of it is going to be great works outside of Scripture, even, that can be inspired. Not inspired necessarily by God, but it can be inspiring to us if it lifts our spirits, if it helps us to go on one more day to, you know, to pursue works that are good. And there's nothing to be compared with the Scriptures. I mean, there's nothing as beneficial as the Scriptures. So it helps keep us humble to read the Scriptures, certainly. So, but the better the things that we study, the better the music we listen to, the better the things we study, the better the artwork we observe, and the music that we listen to, the more we're going to be humble, because we're going to see that, well, we might be divinely gifted by Jehovah, but so are other people, and so, you know, so are there works that are significant and quite impressive and awe-inspiring. And that can humble us and help us remember that we're not, you know, we're not only not perfect, but we're far from perfect, and we have many, many things to improve upon. And it's not about knowledge, it's about wisdom and how to apply knowledge, right? And this is what it's about. When to be silent. So it's Ward Green, and for me, this is Willie, this is Moppy, saying bye for now.